go ahead and move along. So Michael from ASMA is going to give us a brief update on the activities of ASMA. And I.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation to present our consultation paper on the European Single Electronic Format. Before I actually start with the content of the consultation paper, I would like to just say a couple of words about where we are now. Issuers in the European Union have to make public an annual financial report. What that contains, I will elaborate a bit later on. Until the amendment of the Transparency Directive in 2013, there was no requirement whatsoever on European level to publish this annual financial report in an electronic format. There were some requirements in some of the member states, but not on a European level as a whole. What is now ESMA's role in corporate reporting? On the one hand, ESMA is working on supervisory convergence, especially relating to enforcement practices. And secondly, ESMA is working on a single rule book within the European Union, also in the field of corporate reporting. And this means, on the one hand, contributing to the development of accounting standards, and on the other hand, and more relevant for the topic at hand, developing regulatory technical standards on periodic reporting on the one hand and on the storage of regulated information. And if we move to the next slide, as said before, the Transparency Directive was amended 2013, and it will now require that from 2020, all issuers on European regulated markets will have to prepare the annual financial report in a single electronic reporting format with effect from 2020. What is now ESMA's mandate in this field? ESMA has to develop the regulatory technical standards, so the RTS, to specify this electronic reporting format. And it has to assess different technological options, conduct appropriate field tests, undertake a cost-benefit analysis, at least on the level of the technologies, not on whether structured electronic reporting as such is beneficial. And it has to consult stakeholders through a consultation paper. And we published this consultation paper on 25th of September 2015. Well, and eventually, until 31st of December 2016, ESMA shall submit the regulatory technical standard on this single electronic format to the European Commission. So if we move now to the next slide. As said before, all issuers have to make public this annual financial report. And this annual financial report includes several items. So on the one hand, of course, the consolidated financial statements. On the other hand, also the separate financial statements of the issuer. In addition to that, the management report, which may include the corporate governance report, the sustainability reports, and depending on the local jurisdiction, the member states have some other options as well. And eventually a compliance statement by the issuer. And as you probably see from that, some parts of this annual financial report are very narrative in nature and do not lend themselves well to being reported in a structured electronic format. But nevertheless, in the Transparency Directive, there is no difference made between the financial statements on the one hand and these more narrative parts on the other hand. But as these more narrative parts do not lend themselves well to the structured electronic reporting, ESMA suggests in the consultation paper not to require making public these in a structured format. So the requirement would be limited to the financial statements only. So if we move now to the next slide. Before talking a bit about which financial statements ESMA suggests to make subject to the requirement of being made public in a structured electronic format, I probably want to point out a bit the complexity of the accounting landscape we face in the European Union. Because on the one hand, we have the consolidated financial statements, which of all European issuers on regulated markets have to be prepared according to IFRS. But as I said before, the annual financial report also includes the separate financial statements. And currently, many member states still require or at least allow the preparation of these separate financial statements under their national GAAPs. So therefore, we have many different national GAAPs on the level of the separate financial statements. And in addition to that, there is also a limited number, but not completely negligible number, of issuers from third countries using third country GAAPs, which are deemed equivalent to IFRS and are therefore allowed to be used in the regulated markets in the European Union. And if you look at the number, for instance, we see then that 4,700 issuers are still using national GAAP for their separate financial statements, so it's not a small number. And still at least 160 third country issuers use their respective GAAPs, which are deemed equivalent to IFRS. So if you move now to the next slide, the issue is now there. Of course, for structured electronic reporting, there is a necessity for a taxonomy. We don't have a problem there when it comes to the consolidated financial statements according to IFRS, because there, fortunately, the IFRS taxonomy exists. And so ESMA suggests to require that the IFRS taxonomy is used for the structured electronic reporting, subject to an endorsement mechanism in the EU, which has to be defined in the future, which is not yet clear how it will work on a legal basis. ESMA suggests now in the consultation paper not to allow the use of extensions. Yeah, then if we have a look and on the next slide, regarding the separate financial statements, as said before, ESMA faces the significant complexity of many different national GAAPs, and unfortunately, for many of these national GAAPs, there is no taxonomy available currently. So, therefore, for practical reasons, ESMA suggests now in the draft RTS that is included in the consultation paper now, that the separate financial statements shall not be required to made made public in a structured format until taxonomies exist for all the national GAAPs. And there are now two options available to prepare these taxonomies. So on the one hand, it could be done on a national level, so for each of the national GAAPs, but it then would have to be done on the national level, because it couldn't be done by ESMA, because it would require the knowledge of all the different GAAPs that are available in Europe and a detailed knowledge. Yeah, and the second possibility would be to prepare a European taxonomy based on the elements included in the accounting directive. On the other hand, if you know the accounting directive, then you probably also know that this is not an easy task, yeah, to create a taxonomy there, and there might be also comparability issues as the discounting directive gives rather broad leeway for member states regarding their national gaps. So, but yeah, to sum it up now, for the separate financial statements, ESMA suggests in the first step not to require making public these separate financial statements in a structured electronic format. So moving now to the next slide. What are the technologies that ESMA suggests now in this consultation paper? We conducted a cost-benefit analysis, and even though it's only preliminary, the results that we had now in this cost-benefit analysis point to the fact that XBRL or iXBRL might be the technologies used for reporting in a structured electronic format. For those parts that are more narrative in nature, on the one hand, such as the management report, or for those where we don't have a taxonomy now, so the national, so the separate financial statements, PDF shall be used to make them public, because it's already accepted or required in all of the member states. There was some consideration now whether the consolidated financial statements according to IFRS, which will have to be prepared under a structured format, should be also duplicated in a unstructured way, so presenting them also in a PDF format. And eventually, ESMA believes it's important to make public the whole annual financial report in a PDF format. There are various reasons for that. So on the one hand, we have audibility issues. On the second hand, there are legal concerns. And furthermore, we have gained the insight, basically, that many users might either not have the ability or probably also not the willingness to access structured electronic data. So therefore, they should still be able to access the whole annual financial report in a way, in a fashion that they see useful. So, and therefore, to sum it up, ESEF, so this European Single Electronic Format, it's a format to be applied by all European issuers and making use of two different technologies. So on the one hand, PDF for the whole annual financial report, and in addition to that, for the consolidated financial statements, according to IFRS, also the structured format, which will most likely be in XBRL or iXBRL. So if we move to the next slide, this consultation process, as said in the beginning, we issued the consultation paper on 25th of September, and the consultation paper consultation period is 3 months. And therefore ends on 24th of December, so we look forward to hopefully many Christmas presents which can be submitted via ESMA's webpage. We seek input not only on the consultation paper but also on the cost-benefit analysis because we would like to underpin the analysis we already made with further input from stakeholders. So, and moving to the next slide, I mean, considering that that there is now such an illustrious selection of experts on electronic reporting, ESMA and I would be very much interested on your views on several questions which are now on this slide. I mean, I'm now aware that there is a very tight time budget, so probably there is no time available to discuss these rather broad questions, where probably many of you might have strong opinions. but I mean, I leave that to the chair. If there is no time, then I would be very, very grateful. So if we could discuss this probably somewhere over tea or coffee in one of the breaks. Thank you very much for your attention. And
thank you, Michael. So we do have some time for responses to Michael's questions. So if there are any thoughts in the room, Chi, are you? It's on. What I've done is I've unmuted all the mics, so if you can have a conversation on the side, you can shut it off yourself.
I have a question about your presentation.
Yeah.
So about on page 6, I think, that in page 6, ESMA suggested to require structured electronic reporting of the consolidated financial statement. I use the IFRS taxonomy. So do you have any other parts? So maybe you have other parts, like separated financial statement and local gap.
Yeah.
And don't you have any plan about to be tagging on the part? It means that you're only planning to tagging on a consolidated financial statement, which is in IFRS?
Yes, in the first step, yes. So until taxonomies are available for the separate financial statements for all national GAAPs, we will not require making them public in a structured electronic format. So for now, it would be only the consolidated financial statements.
So you said it's a step-up plan. So first step is maybe you wanted to make a XBR some minimum parts.
Yes. I mean, there are no formal steps. So in the regulatory technical standard, that at least is now in the consultation paper, which is but only a rough draft, which can change significantly. Yes. There is no phased approach in such a way that we intend to move forward for the separate financial statements, I don't know, until 2023 or something like that. But this is rather an open-ended, rather open-ended process.
So if this is a step-by-step plan, but maybe it's better to have some kind of the final goals. Which direction you wanted to go? Because if you have a plan, finally it integrated other part of the financial statement, you have to be care about the harmonization with other parts.
Yeah.
And also that in your papers you said use extensions shouldn't be allowed. It sounds like a very unrealistic idea because our experience.
Okay. Yeah, therefore I'm also interested in discussion later on, and I'm grateful for that.
Step by step, is I understand, but even though the step by step plan, but it's better to thinking about which direction you are going to the final.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Chief. I believe you were next.
I think it was, yeah. Hi, Michael. My company is very involved in the consumption of XBRL, and at the moment we work exclusively with US data, and I've got a ton of questions and comments, which we haven't got time for now, but I guess I would just make, I suppose, one point at this time, which is I would encourage you to look very closely at the US experience how that's worked and issues that have sort of come out of there, or certainly perceived issues that have come out of what's happened in the US. I've got a whole bunch of stuff on the back of that, but I'll just mention that for now.
Thank you.
Thanks. Marcin, you want to Can you put your card down?
So yeah.
A couple of comments on your questions. I like the presentation a lot, and just to refer, I think we've been discussing all these questions a lot. So number one, I don't believe there is a lot of value in primary financial statements only, because I think the effort to the industry to implement only primary financial statements is significant, and it's not bringing the value. So I think if it's worth doing, then it's worth doing this for the whole set of financial statements, including the notes. I think that the cost benefit will not work if you just enforce it on primary financial statements only, because you need, I mean, the companies will need software, will need implementation, etc., and the benefit will be probably restricted, because there is today enough primary financial statements available electronically through data aggregators, for example. I think that the second question is really good, and I think we are struggling with the discussion on the extensions a lot, and especially on the company-specific extensions. And I think the usual trap is that if you don't allow them or if you don't enforce them, you are ending in a situation that you don't know the delta. So somebody will be tagging what is known, but you don't know what they have not tagged, right? So we don't know if the financial statement of the company X has 80% untagged or just 3% untagged. So the problem, if you don't have an extension, it's killing the comparability by definition. And on the other hand, extensions are costly. And that's the balance which I think would be very interesting to see the answers to the consultation, because it's very difficult to strike it. But I mean, honestly, I don't believe the models where you don't have the extensions, because as I mentioned, the unknown is remaining uncontrolled. And also the benefit of comparability, in a sense, disappears. Third question, very briefly, I think the technologies is also an excellent question. You may disagree with you, but because interactive data mandate was developed a decade ago, right? So from technology perspective, is completely outdated, if you wish, if you take 10 years. So this should be implemented roughly in 3 to 5 years' time. I don't believe there are other technologies, indeed, but I don't believe that we should be blind to the US mandate as it was designed in 2006-2007. It was designed in a different technology era a bit, so we just have a look where it will take the European financial reporting in 2025, after the fully blown implementation, in a sense. And it's not easy to answer it. I don't believe, I agree XBRL and inline XBRL will be the technology which are there, but even XBRL, you know, is a technology invented in 98, and it will have some changes over time. So that's just to be, I think, worked in the...
Yeah. I mean, I was more highlighting it to look at the perceived issues, not to say, okay, let's you need to follow the US model, but look at the problems that have arisen in the US with regards to it, XBR. I think that's important to take us on board. But also, I think, you know, I think we have to look at the reality of the situation is that, you know, investors want to look at companies globally. So we really need to be working towards a system where we can compare one company in one part of the world with a company in another part of the world. So we need systems that are similar and technologies that are similar if we're going to achieve that goal. So I think you have to bear in mind what the US have already done when deciding what you're going to do in Europe.
Okay, thanks much. Christy, I take it that your thoughts were covered by Maciej?
Yes, and also
members opportunity. Okay. And I think you were next, Lou.
Sure. Two things. First one is there's so much valuable information in the notes to the financial statements that I think stopping at the primary financials is insufficient. Maciej already mentioned that, and I agree completely. The second one is on the last question about quality, what are the experiences and such. I think if there is not an enforcement mechanism to say you've submitted XBRL that isn't up to speed, you know, what's the repercussions? And whatever body deals with that, I just think it's so important to have something in place. And then the last one on quality will be substantially enhanced. So,
okay, to make that three that thinks you shouldn't stop at the primary financial statements, you know, in my conversations with users, data aggregators, getting at the primary financial statements today is frankly a trivial exercise. So we don't, that's not really the big benefit we bring. Now, in terms of rolling out a project, it might make some sense to stage it that way, but I certainly wouldn't want to stop there in the short term. And I just want to comment on the extensions. It is a challenge, of course. We all know that extensions are complicated, but I frankly think it's the wrong question. The question is, what mechanism do we provide to help preparers anchor those extensions into their filing so that the user can understand what they were trying to communicate? We've focused a lot of energy on whether extensions are good or bad. It can be good, they can be bad. Let's provide a mechanism that allows them to communicate what they were trying to communicate in the context of the taxonomy that's provided.
Thanks, Lewis. Michael.
Just a couple of actually questions on slide 8. There's a mention of IXBL used for the structured data. Is there any particular reason why ESMA does not foresee the possibility of using these for unstructured data sets, for the, so to say, text block tagged information or HTML, just like in the case of SEC? And a second question, just on top of it, what is the what are the reasons? Is it the demand of the market to highlight so much the PDF formats, which has been already, I think, a couple of years proposed for the OEMs, and it actually hasn't proved to be the most efficient standard? The OEMs struggled with it because of the various languages, because of putting links, and I think the CFA community came back with a relatively severe criticism of that. So are there any particular reasons for going back or going again with the PDF option?
Yeah, well, from the outreach we carried out, we got the impression that at least users are very interested in having PDF documents.
Mm-hmm.
And it is therefore it's also a technology that is basically everybody can access it, everybody can use it. And therefore, it seemed like the natural choice. And regarding your question, whether or not, why not to require block tagging of the narrative parts? Well, the reasoning behind that was that probably we are utterly mistaken there, but the reasoning was just that we thought it doesn't add any value, because if it's in the PDF anyway already, why block text in the whole text? Because it wouldn't be machine readable anyway. And
the way I understood it is that you are not able to process or search through the PDF document. Depends how it's obviously created. But if it's a scan of the balance sheet, or if it's a scan of the notes, it's impossible to process this document electronically. Anyhow, it's just a picture there. Therefore. Obviously, depending how it is created, but in most cases it would be relatively useless in a sense as a form of searchable document. So the question is whether the block tag could remedy that perhaps, and whether this is something of possible to be commented on in the paper.
Yeah, I mean, what we had in mind, of course, is that the PDF is searchable, so it's not basically only a scan, but that it is converted to PDF so that it is also searchable.
I comment on that too, that it's so valuable if you are an XBRL user to have every, even face statement, separately block text tagged. That way you can work in the XBRL and find the balance sheet, find a note, management commentary pieces, you know, very efficiently without having to go to the PDF. And also the PDF, you have to go to each company individually to get to that PDF, as opposed to the XBRL where you can say, give me the balance sheet for every airline company in text. So some pretty large benefits to having text block tag of the whole document in XBRL.
Mm-hmm. So we take one more. We're a little over, but obviously.
I was just going to reinforce that point. The block tagging, you know, back when we first implemented it, I didn't think much of it. We use it all the time. It gives you more granularity with your text, and if you want specific accounting policy for 6,000 filers, you can search for that specific accounting policy and pull it all together. So for the type of research we do, it's a huge benefit. So.
Thanks. And Michael, you're on for the day, right?
Yeah.
I'm here for the day.
I'm here the
whole
day.
And your offer still stands to find you a break and catch up with you.
Absolutely. I would be very grateful for that. Huh?
Okay. So we can move on and catch him in the break.